across America and around the world. Welcome to America's number one veterans program, the voice of American veterans, Veterans Radio. And now your host for today, former Chief Warrant Officer, 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Republic of Vietnam, 1969, Dale Throneberry.
And hello, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio, as Bob was saying, the number one of America's veterans program, the voice of America's veterans. My name is Dale Throneberry, and 1969, holy mackerel, 40 years ago. Oh, it's getting, I'm starting to feel my age a little bit. Running our board for us today is 101st Airborne's Bob Gould.
Hoorah!
Bob, thanks so much for doing this for us. You know, it's unusual. We do our whole program here live. So folks, you got it's exciting, and it's, our adrenaline is always rushing, and sometimes we get a little overexcited, so you'll have to excuse our overmodulation sometimes. My other partner is Gary.
Overmodulation.
Yeah, I like that.
I've been overmodulated.
Yeah, that's a technical term. Today's program, the theme of today's program is invisible wounds, and we're going to be talking about traumatic brain injury. But before we get to that, my other partner on Veterans Radio, Gary Lilly, is on the line, and Gary is down in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, good morning to you all.
How are you
doing?
I'm
down here for the biannual Vietnam Veterans of America National Convention, where we go over resolutions, see old friends, and when the work is done, we get to have a little bit of relaxation. But this is a workaholic group, and we work on resolutions that are going to set the course for the next 2 years for Vietnam Veterans of America, and we elect new officers and board of directors.
Well, Gary, what are the issues that they're looking at this year?
Well, I was going to hit some of the high ones because, my gosh, we've got the abbreviated form is about 40 resolutions here, and they cover everything from Agent Orange and dioxin. People believe that Agent Orange is something from the past, but they don't know that 2,4-D, which was one of the parts of that soup and one of the most dangerous, is used in weed control and sold over the counter, and it's the most toxic dioxin never created.
Right.
And you'll hear master gardeners tell people, go after those weeds with 2,4-D.
Well, let me jump in here for a second, Gary. You just did a program on this a couple of weeks ago, and that you can find on our archives, about Agent Orange, and there was a new program that came out, or a new report that just came out this week, that talked about Agent Orange being a contributor to Parkinson's, heart disease, and high blood pressure.
Exactly. That's right. And now that's the medical report, and now our work is to get the VA to recognize it. And I've got a friend that's coming down with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, you're going to be on the program, Rick. Hold on.
Who's that?
That's Bob's mic is open while he's talking on the phone.
I hear the old sergeant back. He wasn't sergeant, was he? Back
no,
there,
he
yelling.
Was a specialist.
Also, some of the things that we're Minority Affairs is a big one, and that's recognizing the Pacific Islander veterans and some of the Puerto Rican veterans and some of the people that aren't don't qualify for VA health care, and I'm not sure that the Puerto Ricans are part of it. But we're you know, lobbying Congress all the time to get those people who served able to collect VA compensation and to get VA health care treatment. Oh, voting, making voting more accessible to our troops. But the main thing, what's turning on, the founding principle of Vietnam Veterans of America is never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. And our main thrust right now is helping out these troops of today and the Gulf War troops. They've got issues, and our lobbyist, Rick Weidman and Marcia Ford, these are people that really know their issues. They're up there, and talking to Congress door to door, and they are sharp. Boy, do they know the issues. Homeless, big ones. So it's a busy agenda. And when it was all over, we got to see the movie, we're getting into a little bit of the reward time. We saw Taking Chance. Mm-hmm. It was just nominated for 10 Emmys about the colonel who escorted the body of Chance Felt to his hometown. After the movie, the real colonel, the guy that Kevin Bacon played, talked to us and took some questions, and today he'll be one of the keynote speakers. And the father of Chance Phelps will also be there.
Wow. That was a powerful, powerful movie.
Powerful, powerful. The whole room, there were about 500 Vietnam vets in there. Now, there must have been some sort of allergies came pumping out of the air conditioning system, because there was a lot of sniffles. And
well, that's understandable with that program, and I would encourage anybody who hasn't seen it yet to go
awesome.
And find that.
And one other thing I want to go, and then I got to jump back into the convention, is the opening keynote speaker was General Honor Ray, the guy that the three-star general that was sent into New Orleans to get things organized and get that mess cleaned up. He's the guy that when he arrived, they had trouble with shooting and snipers and shooting back and all that. He got out, and there were some soldiers had their weapons up, and he started yelling at them, "Put those weapons down! Put those weapons down! We're here on a rescue mission." And at another time, he was up there. He's the guy that said, "Stuck on stupid," about the way some of these people were running the operation. And
right.
He was up on the platform during a press conference, and I don't know what the civilian guy was saying, but he turned to him and said, "That's a bunch of BS. That's a bunch of BS." And there's the two civilian guys trying to say how it
sounds
really wasn't their fault.
Yeah, it sounds like he tells it like it is. Well, it sounds like you're having a good time, and I'm anxious for you to come back and tell us what you learned at the Vietnam Veterans of America's biannual convention.
And one last thing, and I'm going to go. There I was after giving a little, passing out the flyers on veterans radio, and the guy yelled to me, "Do you know T. Berry?" "Who?" "Dale Thronberry. I flew with him. He saved my life in country 40 years ago." Told me the whole story, and he's anxious to talk to you. You guys got a chance to speak for about a minute.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That was very emotional. I was surprised how emotional it was to talk to someone that you hadn't thought of in person for 40 years.
He told me he thinks about you a lot, because what you taught him saved his life. And I spoke to him afterwards, after the convention last night, ran into him on the street, and a buddy of his, and we spoke for about 40 minutes out on the street.
Well, I'm anxious to talk to Brooks and see what's going on with his life, and thanks for making that connection, Gary. It's amazing what we have learned on this program and how how important it is for us to be the ones to tell those stories. They need to get them out. We know that.
We do.
And that's what we do. And, Gary, thanks so very much, and I'll be talking to you next week.
Talk to you then. See you
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Bye.
We're just talking to Gary Lilly, who's down at the Vietnam Veterans of America convention in Louisville, and he'll be back to talk about what he learned down there and what this particular veterans organization is doing to try and help out America's veterans. But joining us on the line right now is an unusual young man, and we're always talking about these young people today. And I want to welcome to our program Sam Kilberg. And Sam is doing a fundraiser today for the Traumatic Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And Sam, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Tell me what you're doing today so we can get some people out to your ball games.
This weekend, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm hosting it's the second annual Home Runs for Heroes charity baseball tournament. It's for Michigan military with traumatic brain injury, and the benefits go to the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, the Veterans Program.
And where would people go if they want to see some good ball games?
It's in Rochester Hills, Michigan. It would be at either Rochester High School, Rochester Adams High School, or Stony Creek High School. Games start at 9 a.m. I'm actually at a game right now, and the last game's at 4. And the big game is at Oakland University. It's Sunday. It's the championship games, and they'll start at 9, and the championship game will be at 2.
I just want to point out a few things about Sam, and this is what's so important about the young people today that are supporting America's military and supporting our warriors, is that Sam has been doing this for a couple of years and been very involved in raising funds for the traumatic brain injured. And let me find out here that you not only are you doing baseball games, but you also did another fundraiser where you raised somewhere around $5,000. What was that activity that you did?
Yeah, I'm on the government youth council in my city, and we hosted a 5K run/walk at one of our local parks. We had about 130 runners, and everyone came out. The donations went straight to the BIAMI. and we raised around, I think it was $4,000 and some change. And that all the money went directly there, and it was a great time. It was one Saturday. We got a bunch of donations. A bunch of people came out. It was a blast.
Well, you're doing a great job, and you were named the Brain Injury Association of Michigan Volunteer of the Year for 2009. And you have worked a lot with our guest that's going to be coming on in the next segment, Major Rick Briggs, retired Air Force. And Sam, I want to thank you so very much for what you're doing, and I want to encourage everybody in the Southeast Michigan area, take off for up to Rochester, watch some good ball games, and tomorrow to go to your championship game at Oakland University.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Sam, thank you so very much, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great kid. This is amazing what he's doing.
Yes.
You know, and he's only one of how many hundreds and thousands of young people out there that are raising money for these troops. My heart goes out to them and our wallets too. And we want everybody to go in and see what you can do to help these people out. Each week on Veterans Radio, we always welcome home our troops. We're so happy when you men and women can come home safely. And Bob's got something that he wants to talk about. Bob.
Thank you very much. Welcome home. Each week on Veterans Radio, we welcome home servicemen and women who've been stationed around the world in the service of their country and are returning home. Dateline, Pontiac, Illinois. A ceremony in Pontiac, Illinois will welcome home National Guard troops who were deployed to Afghanistan. The National Guard Armory will honor troops who were deployed from the Armory last August as a part of Operation Enduring Freedom. Soldiers, part of the 33rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team, formed police mentor teams to train the Afghan National Police. The soldiers were part of the largest overseas deployment of the Illinois National Guard since World War II. Dateline, Washington, D.C. Hundreds of U.S. servicemen and women got a hero's welcome when they returned home from deployment in Afghanistan. Family and friends gathered at Thurgood Marshall Airport for the happy homecoming. The troops spent the past 9 months in Afghanistan. They were fighting the Taliban, but instead of fighting continually, they helped to rebuild communities all across the war-torn country. Their homecoming was emotional. I quote, "We're doing a good job," said Air Force Major Aaron James. Further quote, "I mean, we're trying to do what we can do to help this country out," end quote. Civilian casualties among the Afghan population have been growing source, and there's a friction between the Afghan government and the international forces operating there. The unit did a great deal of positive work in the war zone.
I think it's really important that we point that out to people, that there are so many troops over there that are not involved directly in the fighting, but they're involved in the rebuilding of Afghanistan and in Iraq. They're doing the same thing, and these are stories that we don't normally get to see. Go ahead.
No, they were building schools and roads, improving sanitation within the villages. That's great stuff. That shows what we're all about.
Well, that's what we're really trying to do is we're trying to help these people so that they can help themselves. And I was talking to an Iraq veteran the other day who, he still goes out on patrols and so forth, but he said during their, quote, their downtime, they're building schools or they're fixing the roads or they're trying to dig wells and all these other things to help the population. It's not all about blowing things up, folks, and this is what is important. Sorry to cut in like that, Bob, but go back to you.
Welcome Home is sponsored each week by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. For more information regarding the Marine Scholars Program, visit them online at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi. The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and there are gremlins, it sounds like, in the control room.
I know. We've had a couple of them today. And I got 8 hours sleep, too. What can I say? A lot of buttons.
All right. We're going to be talking today about invisible wounds. And by invisible wounds, I mean traumatic brain injury, which is said to be the signature injury of the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan and account for over 90% of our troops' casualties. And TBI can be caused by a wide range of functional changes that affect our thinking, sensation, movement, language, and or emotions. And in fact, many TBI survivors also suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. Joining me on the line right now is the, was Rick Briggs, United States Air Force Major, retired, and is the manager of the Veterans Program for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. Rick, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's talk about what's going on with the traumatic brain injury. And I know that, I don't know if you're going to have somebody try to call in or not, but we wanted to talk today about the symptoms, what causes it, and possibly what some of the treatment is for TBI.
Absolutely. One thing that's happened since I was last on with you, I'm also the National Campaign Director for Invisible Wounds for Operation Forgotten. And people can find out, tie directly into the BIA National, the Brain Injury Association National website through their websites. But the invisible wounds are taking a significant toll in homelessness. Of course, you've heard about the suicides.
Right.
We had more suicides in January of this year than we lost in combat in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. Population, the broken marriages, all the things going on, and the single most important trying to get out is these are invisible wounds, and these young men and women can be suffering significantly from them, though you can't see them, but they are treatable, and that's the big deal. There's an stigma associated with any mental health related issue, but what people fail to differentiate is post-traumatic stress disorder is a psychological reaction. It's really a normal reaction to an abnormal situation.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Are you there? Sounds like we might have lost him. I'm not sure where he went. But let me just kind of go through some of the while we try and get back in touch with Rick. Is that the traumatic brain injury, and this is according to the Mayo Clinic, and I was looking up to see what it was, and I think this is important for all of us to understand. The traumatic injury is usually a result of a sudden violent blow to the head, which launches the brain on a collision course with the inside of the skull. This collision can cause the brain tear nerve fibers and cause bleeding in there. Traumatic brain injury may also result from objects such as bullets or even shattered pieces of skull that would, enter the skull, as many of these people in combat can go there. And it looks like we've got him back. Rick, we got you back?
Yes, sir. Am I there?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. You know, as we said, everything is kind of falls apart every once in a while. But what I wanted to do is to talk about and what I've been describing while you were gone is what causes TBI? What happens inside of the head when these explosives go off or they get hit in the head?
Well, substantially what's happening is the ballistic wave is actually traversing right through the body. And even though, and I'm not talking about the fireball and I'm not talking about the other type of, visible impact, I'm talking about a shockwave that actually right through the brain, and it's affecting at the neuron and subneuron level. And to tell you some of the isolated, very specific things that are going on in the brain, even though they're very, very mild and they're not something you can really self-diagnose, we've had veterans that say their food tastes different. You know, mm-hmm. They come home and their favorite meal, they don't even like the taste. I've got guys who say their diets changed. Vegetables they didn't used to eat, they like now. You know, and that shows that the receptor perception process and strength of the brain can get altered with these shock waves. The emotion centers you mentioned, sensuality, sexuality, the highs and lows, the peaks and valleys. Some people become more docile, some become more aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
We have guys who say smells smell different. Their wife's perfume smells perception-wise different than it did before. So it can be something very, very subtle. But a lot of these can really affect job performance, relationship maintenance, and sustaining a relationship. Marriage and families and so on are tough enough when everything's going well. But when you have these other things impacting your perception of what is going on, that's where the experts need to come in. And I'm talking about certified brain injury experts that are rehabilitation specialists. And there's some very specific things they do in their specialized community that you just can't walk into the local hospital and get.
Right. We're talking with Rick Briggs, who's with the Traumatic Brain Injury Association of Michigan, and we're trying to go through some of the issues that our troops go through. If you have questions or if you've experienced TBI, give us a call here at Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We know that it doesn't obviously just affect military people. I'm just looking through here when they talk about mild traumatic brain injuries, and this could be, you could be playing baseball and get hit in a helmet, but you might have a brief period of unconsciousness, amnesia about what happened, headache, confusion, dizziness, loss of balance, sensory problems, as you mentioned, or bad taste in your mouth where food doesn't taste quite the same that it used to, as you mentioned, mood changes, and even memory and concentration problems. And these are issues that you don't really understand if you have been, many of us have been, hit in the head at some point in our lives, and we don't realize that it could cause these problems to us. And that's just mild. And many of these men and women, it's a little bit more traumatic, as you were mentioning.
And that presents a great problem, and you're right about the civilian population. Just to talk about that very briefly, we're talking about over 2% of the U.S. population has been affected with a brain injury. If you took HIV, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injury, and breast cancer and combined them all, multiply that total number by 6, that's the size of the issue you're talking about. It is the leading cause of death in young people back in the civilian. And that's not counting veterans or shaken babies. And those numbers you can get off the CDC website. But in a combat environment with these young men and women, they come back and they seem fine. Something's different. They're affected. But when you think about your reaction time, your cognitive processing, your sequencing skills to, strategize and so on, communicative skills, your sense of balance, those are critical skills in a combat environment. And unfortunately, all too often our young men and women, they feel fine, they look normal. And in a short interaction, if you go up and talk to somebody who was just hit, they might seem a little dazed and confused, but then, a few hours later they seem fine. But you really don't know the impact and how that is going to affect them long term. And in a lot of cases, these shock waves, the brain has an amazing healing process that immediately starts kicking in and so on. But some of these symptoms get worse with time. And that's one of the things, and some of them take 3 to 5 years to start really manifesting themselves and raising their ugly head. And unfortunately, all too often, the vets have not contacted the VA and processed because at the time they're okay. They're not as good as, but, just like the World War II vets and, Vietnam, Korea, and all them, they come home, they all go through it, they suck it up, they get back to work, and, that's the negative aspect of the military culture is these, not asking for help when you should be.
Right. We're talking with Rick Briggs, and Rick, you were also involved, and Bob has a comment here he wants to make. He was just up at Grayling last week, watching the training that the National Guard is going through, and he wants to ask you a question about the helmets. So Bob?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Dale, and welcome, Rick. Bob Gould here.
Yep.
I'm just up at Grayling, and one of the things that I observed was that they wore their helmets. They wore their helmets, and they had their chin straps fastened. I wanted to say that because I look We didn't see any John Wayne Iwo Jima movie with the chin straps hanging down. The cool
well, that's because
look.
Of
right.
the old they, days.
They
the,
were
old,
fastened.
The old brain bucket was very uncomfortable. And these new BLUs, ballistic liner upgrade units that they've installed, one, and I'm glad you highlighted that, it's very important they use them. And same thing with sports, which you mentioned earlier, football helmets, baseball, biking, skateboarding, all the, that, you know, there's no cure for brain injury, but you can prevent it. And these ballistic shock waves can be reduced by up to 60% with this new high density, and it's not just a foam. I mean, it really is technologically advanced. I think there's something like 27 different layers of composite foams in there, but the helmets are stable now, as opposed to the old strap suspension right. system. Not only does it help prevent, but these guys will be sleeping in their helmets. You know, I'm talking about in a combat environment, and they're so much more comfortable that, you know, they actually do leave them on even when they don't have to. And that's a wonderful thing. It builds up their neck muscles. They get used to it to where, you know, it's just a part of them, kind of like wearing a seatbelt in a car.
Well, I think as Bob had mentioned, in fact, this is really ironic. We were having our regular breakfast production meeting, and a gentleman at the next table was talking about a man from Ann Arbor, and you may even know him, and I couldn't remember he didn't mention his name, but who is trying to develop a new helmet for the military. He's already developed football helmets that the University of Michigan uses that are safe. He's about 90 years old, and he's working again on an upgrade on combat helmets that he thinks will almost eliminate entirely TBIs as a
yep.
result. And I don't know if you've been in touch with him yet, but I know that they were trying to figure out, because one of the people at lunch said, oh, yeah, we know Rick. So it's getting to be a very, very small world.
Well, before I 3 years ago, before I went into the brain injury community, I ran the Michigan chapter for Operation Helmet, helping to get the ballistic liners, getting the government to procure them, install them, and now they're standard issue. So, you know, it took 4.5 years, but we got it, you know, as part of the routine equipment now. And I'm really glad that you commented about the wear of the helmets, because, and I'll give you an example. We just had an event here last June called Heroes in Helmets. It's part of the Tips Up for Troops bass fishing tournament we do and all that. And the focus is really on wearing helmets. And we call it Heroes in Helmets because we're saluting firemen, police, you know, Homeland Security, military, anybody who wears a helmet in the line of duty, you know, out there protecting us and so on. Because those are the real heroes in our society. And the kids look up to them, and we're trying to make it cool to wear a helmet, you know, whether they're bike riding, skateboarding, you know, anything, inline rollerblades, any of that stuff. And the parents need to wear them too, because it's not much of an example you're telling the kids they got to wear their bike helmet and then mom and dad hop on and don't. So
I can relate to that entirely. I'm just my grandson is just learning how to ride his bicycle, and Papa went out and bought a bike, an old used bike, and I have to get a helmet before I can let him see me riding it.
There you go.
It wouldn't be good. And I have a second cousin who was in a motorcycle accident in Florida, and his helmet was not one of the better quality ones, and he's still in rehab 3 years after the accident because of his head, you know, just brain being rattled entirely.
Right.
We got about a minute till we come up to our first break, Rick, and I wanted to talk about we talked about some of the symptoms that can result from being, you know, hit with an explosive round. What can we do as far as what is the treatment? I'm stuttering here. What is the treatment?
Well, what they do is, well, first of all, it's important to get in with certified brain injury, you know, specialists, experts in the specific arena, because when they go through the screening process, they'll go through and they'll find out what happened to your body, what area is affected. Is it an emotion sensor? Is it a cognitive speech and audiology? Is it one of the pathologies that's been impacted? And what they'll do is they'll focus on whatever areas were affected, and then they'll teach you ways to, one, compensate for deficiencies and how to enhance them. They'll give you exercises, brain teasers, all these types of things.
Hold that thought. We're going to go into, we'll be talking more specifically about the treatment when we come back. We're talking about traumatic brain injury. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Marine Sergeant Louis Kukula received not one, but two Medal of Honors during World War I. Details after this.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
When his company, advancing through a wood, met with strong resistance from an enemy strong point, Kukula crawled out from the flank and made his way toward the German lines in the face of heavy fire, disregarding the warnings of his comrades. He succeeded in getting behind the enemy position and rushed a machine gun emplacement, killing or driving off the crew with his bayonet. With German hand grenades, he then bombed out the remaining portion of the strong point, capturing four men and two damaged machine guns. He was awarded the Medal of Honor by both the Army and the Navy for this action.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs.